life. Understand, if you remember Paul, he is a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Roman citizen. He was schooled in Greco-Roman thought. It was him that wrote in Philippians chapter 3, he said this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul, a very religious man, very successful man in the world's eyes, tent maker by trade, probably a member of the Sanhedrin. What he accomplished through his work, his preaching, his planting of churches, his writing, has been unparalleled by the life of any other. From his conversion on that Damascus road to his martyrdom, the dash between being born again and his death was one of significance, one of humility, and one of determination. If you were to outline the Romans, one of the greatest books that's ever been penned, you could divide it into five different parts very simply. Chapters 1 through 3, sin. Chapters 4 through 5, salvation. Chapters 6 through 8, sanctification. Chapters 9 through 11, sovereignty. And chapters 12 through 16, service. This passage leading up to Romans chapter number 7 gives insight to our relationship to the law. The law does not have dominion over you. We are dead to the law, and we are delivered from the law. Chapter number 6 in Adam, listen, we have sin, but in Christ we have righteousness. In chapter number 7 here in Adam, we have the law, but aren't you thankful that in Christ we have grace? Chapter number 8 in Adam, we have death, but aren't you thankful tonight that in Christ we have life? Here in chapter number 7, Paul is using some transparency. I like people that are transparent, don't you? Listen, anybody that acts like they don't have any problems, act like they don't have any issues, you need to run from as far as quickly as you can, because everybody's got them, whether they're a preacher or not. We've all got problems. This is Paul that's writing, and here I want you to notice, first of all, in our text tonight, there was a conflict. Every Christian has two natures inside of them, the old nature and the new nature. Ephesians chapter number 4 calls it the old man and the new man. Galatians 5 calls it the work of the flesh, the work of the spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 calls it the carnal side and the spiritual side. The Adamic nature, the new nature, and the new nature of God. The old nature can do nothing right, and the new nature can do nothing wrong. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Listen, before salvation, you only had one nature. There was no struggle to do right because the new nature had not been regenerated inside of you yet. There was no battle going on. Listen, the new nature wants to do right. It wants to please God. It wants to live for God. It's earnest and sincere. Your new nature really wants to do right. But how many of you have figured out already that we still have that old nature? That old nature wants to sin. Hey, that old nature, it never wants to do right. It couldn't do right if it wanted to. It doesn't have the power to do what's right. You will never change it. You will never whip it into shape. You can't discipline it. You can't, listen, by your own power, you can't change it. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The first thing we must realize tonight, and I just want to simply preach a message tonight called the struggle. The struggle. Something Paul went through, something I go through, and something you go through. The first thing we have to realize tonight in verse number 14 is this: we have a problem. We have a problem. Spurgeon said this, it is the Apostle Paul who was not less than the very greatest of the apostles. It is Paul, the mighty servant of God, a very prince in Israel, one of the king's mighty men. It is Paul, the saint and the apostle here who exclaims in verse number, O wretched man that I am. Look at verse number 14 in your Bible. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Listen, the transparency, the honesty that Paul shows here to me is mind-blowing. The humility that is displayed. The passage by the preacher, by the missionary, by the church planter, is an example to every Christian. Listen, he'd been saved for 20-something years, and he says, listen, I haven't figured it out yet. I still struggle every single day. If we're not careful, we'll start falling into the trap. When we come into church, we look around, and everybody's worshiping, and everybody's smiling, and it looks like there's no problems, and you'll begin to compare yourself to someone else. Can I just say this? Everybody that walked in here tonight, and everybody that walked in here this morning, we've all got problems. We've all got struggles. If you're going through something here tonight, I don't care how long you've been in church, or if you're on staff tonight, it's okay every once in a while not to be okay. Sometimes we'll think in church we got to be smiling all the time. We can't have any struggles. We can't have any problems. And we've got to act like everything's okay when we're dying on the inside. Paul says here, listen, we all struggle. And he gives us what our problem is. I want you to notice, and we won't go to all these, but if you go to 14, verses 14, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, all the way through 25, you'll find a word that is used. Listen, the word I is used 27 times. In these 12 verses. The word me is used 6 times in these verses. The word myself is used 2 times. You know what he was saying? Paul knew that his biggest problem wasn't everybody else. Paul knew that his biggest problem was Paul. Can I tell you tonight, your biggest problem isn't everybody else? Hey, your biggest problem isn't your spouse tonight. Your biggest problem isn't your preacher, although he may be a problem. Amen. Listen, your biggest problem tonight isn't your family. It's not your boss. It isn't your job. It isn't even Satan. Satan's not going to waste his time on us. Our biggest problem tonight is us. If you're ever going to get past the struggle, if you're ever going to move forward for the Lord, you've got to realize that your biggest problem is you. As church people, we don't like that. We like to blame the world for all of our problems. We like to blame everybody else for all our problems. Our biggest problem is us. Man, we lived in Baltimore for 13 years. Thank God he delivered us from that godforsaken place. Amen. I worked at a church there, and we were making a visit with our Spanish pastor running down I-95. And Brother Morales was driving this old, I think it was a celebrity, like a 1989 celebrity. And we're rolling down I-95. Man, that thing was shaking. It was beautiful. It was primered. It was primered color, okay? This thing was awesome. I used to call it the donkey. We were so embarrassed to make visits, we'd park down the block from the house we were going to see people and walk down so they wouldn't see us pull up in it. But we're running down 95 one day, making some visits. About that time, he's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. About that time in the rearview mirror, woo, woo, woo. And you see the lights coming, blue and red lights. He's driving. We pull over, so this is awesome, right? I'm not driving. My buddy's driving. I'm totally giving him the business, man. I'm over there. I'm singing, bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? We're having company. I'm video. Listen, he's freaking out. Man, I'm over here. I'm just giving it to him. Man, that state trooper pulls up behind us. It gets better. That door swings open, and I got some issues, so forgive me. She gets out of there, and I'm like, oh, yes, this is awesome. This is on. This is great. You're getting a ticket, and I'm witnessing it. She walks towards that car. She got that little clipboard deal. Well, she doesn't go to the left side. She comes over to the right side, passenger side window. And I'm like, oh, it's just because of traffic. No big deal. You driving. You sucker. She got you. She taps on the window, roll down the window. She looks at me, and she says, sir, you don't have your seatbelt on. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's not even driving this joker. Man, they had just enforced this click it or ticket thing. Here's the point. I was so focused on a problem that he thought he had that I had my own problem. Can I tell you, so often in church what we do is we focus on everybody else's problem, everybody else's shortcomings, everybody else's issues, when we got enough of our own issues. Your biggest problem tonight, you, not anybody else. I remember we lived in Baltimore. We also had these things called split-level houses. I don't know if y'all had those here. And man, houses are on top of each other. I live in the country now. I can go outside. You don't see anybody. I got trees. I got dogs that run around. We got goats, rabbits, chickens. Man, I can shoot in my back. I like that. I don't like anybody around. I want to see nobody. I want to do what I want to do. But there, man, these houses, you could spit out your bedroom window and you're in somebody else's window. I mean, they're there. And I walked out my back deck. And I'm a little bit of a clean freak. Like, if you walk in my office, all my stuff is like, I can tell if somebody's adjusted something. Man, I don't like my 17-year-old daughter driving my car and getting Cheetos all crunched up in the middle of the cup holders. I hate that. I like clean cars. Man, I like my stuff right. And I walk out on that deck and I look over, and we had some new neighbors that had moved in. And man, they begin to trash their backyard. And I'm standing there, I had a little Boston Terrier at that time, I'm sipping on a cup of coffee, and I'm overlooking it on that second level, split level house, overlooking their backyard. And I started getting angry. My wife's looking at me, she's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Can you believe this bunch of trash next door having a yard sale in their backyard every day, not cleaning? They need to take care of this neighborhood. These prices are going to go down." I'm calling the homeowners association. I'm getting fired up, man, getting ticked. About that time, my dog walks over to that screen door and starts kind of yelping at it a little bit, meaning he needed to go down to his business. So I open that door, and we walk down those stairs, and he's going to do his business in the backyard. And about that time, it was like the Lord punched me in the stomach. Y'all ever had one of those moments before? If you ain't had one a long time, you need to have one, because that's where he helps us. About it's like he punched me in the stomach. I look under that deck, and I had forgotten, Brian, that we had remodeled our bathroom. I look there, and you guess what my neighbors could see underneath my deck? There was a toilet. There was a bunch of tile. There was broken up drywall. You know what God told me? He said, "Jake, so often we're worried about everybody else's backyard when we got enough junk in our own." Listen, if you're ever going to have God help you and work in your life, you're going to have to understand, just like Paul did, that those struggles that we have, those problems that we have, it's not everybody else's problem. It's our problem. Amen. Notice with me in verses 15 through 19, this portrait of a struggling Christian, what he says here, he's saying, "I'm helpless." Look at verse number 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." You know what he's saying here? I'm helpless. I want to do what's right and I can't. Y'all ever been there before? Man, I don't want to sin, but I end up sinning. He says, "I'm helpless." And then notice what he says in verses 17 through 18. Not only is he helpless, he says, "I'm frustrated." Look at verse 17. "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that dwelleth in my flesh, no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He says this, "I'm helpless and I'm frustrated. On my own, I can't figure out how to do right." Look at verse number 21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members." He says, "I'm helpless, I'm frustrated, I'm defeated." He's saying this, "I'm trying to live the Christian life." And this is where, listen, I'm telling you, many of us have been here, and many of us are here right now. By my own strength, by my own character, by my own power. Let me just say this. I believed the lie for many years of my ministry. If I just did more in the flesh, if I just worked harder, if I just gave more, if I was just there more, then eventually I was going to feel some sense of completion. And you know where I was, even as a pastor? Depressed, helpless, frustrated. And I found myself where Paul was right here. I was feeling defeated. You cannot live this Christian life by your own strength, by your own power, and by your own character. Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice what he says in verse 24. You still got your Bibles open? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says, "I'm powerless. I can't do this on my own." Paul is sick and tired of being sick and tired. Saved for 20 years. I believe he was experiencing maybe what some of us has experienced. Burnout caused by the work of the flesh, even good work. If you try to serve God by your own strength, y'all listen to me, you are doomed to failure, Phariseeism, defeat, and judgmentalism. Listen to these words. It's not just humanly difficult to live the Christian life. It is humanly impossible to live the Christian life. I used to think if I did all these things, then God was going to look down and give me a thumbs up. I used to think that if I just had a little bit higher standards, if I just didn't go there and just didn't do that, then all of a sudden God was just going to give me His approval. As one preacher said it this way, I thought that I was maybe in an audition for a part, and God says, hey, stop the audition. You've already got the part. You see, we've done ourselves a disservice for years in our churches because we've given this idea that if you have more character, if you whip yourself into shape, then all of a sudden, man, God's going to do something in your life. We must understand, like Paul did, that the answer to the problem of you and me, it isn't anything we can do. The answer tonight is in verse number 25. Look at it. I thank God. Are y'all seeing this? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, tonight, let me just remind you, the answer to the problem of I and me is Jesus Christ. Listen, your righteousness tonight, the Word of God says this, is as filthy rags. Hey, the only righteousness that you and I have is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And aren't you thankful tonight that when He looks down at us, He doesn't see us. He sees the Lamb of God. He sees Jesus tonight. You see, when He looks at us, and that's where we miss it. We think He looks at us. If you're saved tonight, our sin was imputed to Him. His righteousness was imputed to us. Listen, you can't do anything tonight to make God love you any more or any less. There's nothing you can do tonight if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, hey, to make Him look down on you. And it's about time that some of us stop living in defeat and start living in victory tonight. Hey, it's about time that some of us understand that the only way that we're going to find completion and true satisfaction tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we live the Christian life not by willpower. And that's what I was taught growing up so often. If you just do, man, if you just have better character, if you fit in this moral box, I found myself empty, helpless, frustrated. Because it's not by willpower tonight. It's only by God's power tonight. Love what the prophet said, Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 Corinthians 10:14, Paul said it this way, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. You may be here tonight and you've got some sort of addiction, you've got something that you're trying to whip into shape, you've got something you can't get past. Can I just tell you tonight, through Jesus tonight, you can get past it. Amen. Right up here, through Jesus, you can get over it. You may be here tonight and you're one of those recovering Pharisees, and I'll just be as blunt and as transparent as I can. Some of us have been so church for so long, we wouldn't know God if He showed up. Somebody help me tonight. We've been living in this religious, moral box. It's been a long time since God's broke our heart and helped us see our need. It doesn't matter tonight if you've been saved for 30 years or 30 minutes. Listen, it's all level at the foot of the cross tonight. We were all on our way to hell. It's only by His grace and His love and His mercy tonight that any of us are okay. Let me just ask this question. Are you living this life through the flesh tonight? Or are you living it in the Spirit? Let me ask you this, as Paul said. Notice, Paul had the proper view of self. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, it's of God. Amen. Let me ask you this. Why do you do what you do? Do you serve tonight for a pat on the back? Do you serve tonight for somebody to say good job? Man, do you serve tonight and do you worship tonight so that you can get man's approval? If that's where you are, you're never going to have completion. You're never going to have satisfaction. Man, we must do it. We must live for the audience of one tonight. 2 Corinthians 13:4, he said this, we are also weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. You will only have victory in the Christian life when you realize it's not you, but the Spirit of God that transforms you. I love what Philippians 1:6, Paul said this, being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began that work in you? God. Who will be faithful to perform it in you? God. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. Let me read you one more. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 says this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, listen, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and forever. Amen. Our passage puts it, look at the middle of verse 24. I want you to think of this, and we're almost done. O wretched man that I am. I mean, that's Paul, saved 20 years, church planner, missionary, proper view of self. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not by willpower, it's by God's power. Look at chapter 8, verse number 1. See what he gives us victory over? Got your Bibles open? Look at this. Therefore now, are y'all seeing this? If you circle, if you write, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The first thing that he does is he gives us victory over self. Listen, God can give you victory over yourself tonight. You're your biggest enemy. You've got to admit it, and you've got to ask God, God, give me victory over myself. God, give me the help that I need. Second thing that he gives us in verse number 2, chapter number 8, is victory over sin. Look at it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Listen, if you're saved tonight, your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin has already been paid for. Sometimes we forget that. Man, there's nothing you can do. I just want to remind, when you have that guilt, when you hear those accusations in your head, that ain't Jesus. Right. When you hear, hey, you're not good enough. Hey, you can't get up there and sing. You can't get in there and serve. That's not God. That is the accuser of the brethren. And you need to look him in the eye and say, hey, the blood of the Lamb has already paid for my redemption. Hey, he's already taken care of it. He's paid my way. It's paid in full. He paid for it. I don't have to anymore. Victory over self, victory over sin. And then I love this one. This will make a Presbyterian shout. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and notice this word, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things after the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, oh, this is good, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, look at this, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, oh my goodness, quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Listen, he gives us victory tonight over self. He gives us victory over sin. And then I love this. Hey, the reason we worship, the reason we stand and lift our hands, hey, the reason we preach is this. Hey, when he paid for that sin on the cross, I'm glad that it didn't stop there. Listen, there's a lot of people that died on crosses. But this man, the God-man, deity wrapped in flesh, did something that no other man that's ever lived ever done. Listen, 3 days later, I can just picture it. After he had died, after he had taken our sin, after he had paid that price that we could never afford to pay, he was laying in that tomb, and I can just imagine. Can you just imagine that damp tomb? Seemed like all hope was gone. Man, I can just imagine it. A cool little breeze begins to blow through there. Man, I can imagine him, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but I can just imagine those toes, Brother Mark, start moving a little bit. Man, I can just imagine a little bit of life starts coming in those legs. Oh, and that sin debt had been paid for. Hey, that ransom had been paid. That redemption had been paid. My sin had been paid for. And oh, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, he got up and he walked out of that tomb 3 days later. Hey, that's the reason tonight that we can worship, and that's the reason that we can sing, is because there is coming a day, y'all listen to me tonight, where he's going to make all things right. That flesh that we deal with, that battle, that struggle, that sin, one day it's going to be over. And when I see him, I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. When you look around this world tonight, it's real easy to start looking at all the problems, all the issues, all the pain, all the sin. What I just told you is the reason we have hope tonight. We serve a risen Savior. He's redeemed us. We will be risen with him. His righteousness is placed on us. I just want to encourage you with this tonight. Stop trying to live this Christian life on your own. Stop trying to live it in the flesh. You say, preacher, how can I live it in the spirit? Y'all listen to me. For years, been through seminary, been through Bible college, preached almost every day of my life, I feel like. I was at a place where I just didn't have completion. I was at a place where I was frustrated. Helpless. He talked about it this morning. I had a religion, but I was denying the power thereof. My personal devotions were struggling. My prayer time was struggling. You see, it's easy for us, y'all listen to me, don't miss this. It's easy for us in a church environment to sing the right songs, to say amen at the right time, to serve, to get busy. Those are good things. But can I just tell you, you can do all those things. You can be saved. But if you don't have that relationship with him daily, you're going to be exactly where Paul was. Frustrated, helpless, defeated. Let me just ask, here's my challenge for you tonight. You want to live the victorious Christian life. I want you to go back to this past Monday. Monday, rewind to Monday. Did you personally, talking to staff members, talking to deacons, talking to church people tonight, this past Monday, did you have a time where you opened up this book and you spent time with God? Do you have a time where you got down on your knees before an almighty God and you said, oh God, I need you today. Oh God, I can't live this life. The most prideful thing we can do is not to ask God for help. You know what we're saying? God, I got this. God, I can do this without you. Some of us tonight maybe need to make a decision just to get God back involved in our lives. Maybe your marriage tonight's on the rocks and it's been a long, you come into church, you do that minivan transformation. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what the minivan transformation is. I have people at my church that go through it the whole way to church, cussing at each other on the way here. Y'all don't look at me like that. We know what goes on. Short with the kids. Angry. Hollering at each other. It's amazing, you pull onto the River City parking lot. Huh? You get into that parking spot. If you got one of those newer vans, we could never afford one of these in our family. You push that button and go, zzz, zzz. Then you step out. It's like something changes. You walk in, all of a sudden, just full of something back here. All of a sudden you walk into church. Hey, brother, God bless you. Aren't you glad I'm saved? Shout to the Lord. Teach a class. You go out those doors. Your marriage is miserable. Your life's miserable. Go through the whole process. Can I tell you what's missing? Relationship with Jesus. The more you get to know him, there's something that will begin to happen in your life, and this is what it is. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. You see, all of the fruit of the Spirit all has to do with how we treat other people. As Baptists, we could take some of that on. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Moms and dads, I just want to encourage you, get back in tune with him. Man, how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be helpless. You're going to be defeated if you're not dependent on him for the help that you need. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it's always right on time. It's never by accident. Lord, I pray that maybe tonight, Lord, somebody that's maybe struggling a little bit, first of all, God, I pray that you'd help them to know that they're not alone. God, I pray that you'd help them to know that you love them. And God, you want to do a supernatural work through them. Father, maybe someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just continue to draw them to yourself. Father, I pray for Brother Mark as he preaches here in just a minute. God, give him exactly what we need to hear. God, may you take what we've heard tonight already. Help us to act on it. Lord, help us to know you more. Lord, help us to have your heart. God, give us victory like only you can. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.